This morning we'd like to continue with our series of messages concerning this. A Bible-believing Baptist looks at the baptism with the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Holy Ghost, and tongues. That's right. That's the title of our message. Those of you who listened last week and tuned in again today, remember that we said the title of the message was and is and will continue to be for several Sundays, A Bible-believing Baptist looks at baptism with the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Holy Ghost, and also tongues. Now, we left off last week in Mark 16, verses 17 and 18. We were looking at that, and we're going back there today because we think it's a good place. We'll just double back and cover some of the same ground we did last week to sort of get us into the message today. We'll try to hurry along, but yet not go too fast so that we can explain these scriptures to you briefly. In Mark 16, we're looking at verses 17 and 18. There the scripture says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." All right. Now, as we said last week, we'll start all over again today and say, the term "they," or the word "they," does not mean all believers. Now, the reason I say that is because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4, if you'll remember last week, we said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4, there we're told that even in the days of the apostles, tongues or languages were not the only gift that the Holy Spirit gave, just one of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gave. Now, we'd like to go back and cover that again for those that might not have tuned in last week. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, verses 8 through 10. Now, what I want you to notice is that even in the days of the apostles, tongues or other languages, foreign languages to the speaker, were given to one, and then another gift was given of some other kind to the other, and so forth, in those days of special gifts. Let me show you what I mean. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, it says, "Now there are diversities, different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit." And then in verse 8, we have this: "For to one," that is to one person, "is given by the Spirit," that is the Holy Spirit, "the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit. To another, faith, by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing, by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers," that is, different kinds of tongues or languages. "To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." You see, the reason why I say that in Mark 16, 17 and 18, this is, and especially 17, the tongues spoken of there did not mean that all believers would speak in tongues or other languages, foreign languages, because in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 and verses 8 through 10, it says that in those days when special gifts were given to the New Testament church, that everyone didn't receive the same gift. So that's why I understand that Mark 16 and 17 does not mean that all believers would speak, even in the days of the apostles, in other languages. That's right. Also, on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, we find there where the scripture tells us very plainly that there were 3,000 souls that were saved. It says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." And then it goes on down and tells you what they did. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers and so forth. But it does not say anywhere that they spoke in other languages at all. It doesn't say that at all. It's not even mentioned. They did not do what many times people read in there. Many times people just go ahead and assume that these 3,000 souls that were saved spoke in foreign languages or foreign tongues. No, that's not there. That's not in the scripture. And to read it into there is to read in something that the Word of God does not say. And there's no authority to do that whatsoever. None whatsoever. Now, I'd like to also call to your attention that there's no record of the Ethiopian eunuch speaking in other tongues or languages when he was saved in Acts 8. If you'll read those scriptures there, you'll notice that the Bible says in verse 36, after Peter had preached unto him Jesus, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing, that is, the eunuch. Now, if you'll notice, there's no record there that the Ethiopian eunuch spoke in other languages, anything other than his tongue, his own language, none whatsoever when he was saved. I'm saying that the all, or the they, does not mean all in Mark 16, 17, 18. I'm showing you from the Scripture why this is not so, why the they there, that's often interpreted as meaning all believers would speak in other languages or tongues, is not true, because we do not find it happening. It does not mean that, cannot mean that, because it's not present in the Scripture. Now, there's also no record of the Philippian jailer and his household speaking in other languages or tongues when they were saved in Acts chapter 16. If you'll read that scripture very closely, you can see for yourself there is no mention whatsoever, and that they were saved, there is no question about it. In Matthew 16, verses 25 through 34, Acts 16, verses 25 through 34, listen to this. It says, "At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in," that is the Philippian jailer, "and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God, with all his house. And so, when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, Let these men go, and so forth, and so on." All right, so there is no record that the Philippian jailer, nor any of the others in his house that trusted Christ as their Savior that day, spoke in any foreign language or foreign tongue at all at that time. There are many more examples that could be given, but I'm going to state once again that in Mark 16, verses 17 and 18, the they does not mean all believers when it speaks of them speaking in other tongues or languages. Now, if we were to assume that in verse 17, they meant all believers, that all believers would be required not only to speak in other languages, but also to do the other signs that are given there too. And I find that many times people want to press the part about the other languages or tongues, but they don't press the same for the other things that are mentioned there, which must be taken. Like, it says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." You see, if you just take the tongues or languages out of there and leave the others, you've got to take it all too. And this would include being immune to the bite of serpents for all believers that were poisoned, or to poison from serpents to all believers. This is certainly not true, and we know it's not true. Now, listen, dear people, you have to take all of these or none at all. Now, in Mark 16, 19, and 20, it says that these signs did take place during the days of the apostles. Now, notice, it says in verse 19, So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth, the apostles, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. It says that these signs did take place during the apostles, and they did perform them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, it speaks of the signs of an apostle. In other words, apostles were men who were called to a special office. By the way, an office that does not exist in our day. I often hear people erroneously referring to someone as apostle so-and-so. Now, the apostles were a special group of people that existed only, that office existed only in the early church and has not existed since the original apostles. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, here's what we read. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. You see, there were special signs and wonders that apostles, because of their office, performed, or God performed through them, that were not normal and naturally performed by others. If they were, then there would be no need to give reference to these signs of an apostle, because they wouldn't prove anything about the apostle Paul being an apostle or anyone else, because they would be commonly performed by everyone and would be no evidence at all. And yet the apostle Paul insists that there were signs that truly indicated whether or not an individual was an apostle or not. And he's speaking, of course, here of himself to those who questioned his apostleship. Now, the apostles are all dead, have been dead for a long time, so the signs of the apostles are not here now, because we do not have the sign, the apostles, the office of apostle today. Not at all, because they are special. That was a special office in the beginning in the early church. Now, let's also notice something else in this message today, and it concerns Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Now, a lot of times when people study these verses, they read into them what they've heard someone else say and don't notice what these verses say themselves. And we have to be very particular when we read the Word of God that we don't read into them what someone else has said. And if we've heard a lot of preaching and we've read a lot of books, it's so easy for us to do that, to read into the Scriptures something that's not there. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, let's read through those verses of Scripture and then let's look at some things about them in the moments that we have left. Remember, we're talking about, the title of my message today is A Bible-Believing Baptist Looks at Baptism with the Holy Ghost, Being Filled with the Holy Ghost, which we've already proven are two different things, and then also tongues, which we've proven from the Scripture itself simply means languages. So now let's go on in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And hear we, and how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea and Cappadocia, and in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues, our languages, the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed, and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Verse 13, Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. All right, let's look at what we've read briefly in the time that we have left. On the day of Pentecost, the church was assembled, waiting for the baptism with the Holy Ghost by Jesus Christ. That's what the Scripture says, They were all with one accord in one place, and they were all just sitting there waiting as Jesus had commanded them to do so. Sometimes it's a hard job just to sit and wait, but they were. No one is said to be praying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Ghost. No one is said to be praying at all. No one is said to be singing. No one is said to be shouting. No one is said to be dancing around. No one is said to be preaching. According to the Bible, none of this is mentioned. No languages or no other tongues were even expected. They were just waiting for the Lord to do what He had said He would do, what John the Baptist said He would do, and baptize with the Holy Ghost. Now, the baptism with the Holy Ghost took place suddenly, without warning, according to the promise of God. Nothing at all had to be done by the church that was there in Jerusalem. Not one thing. They were the recipients of a promise. There were no requirements that they had to meet. There were no stipulations that they had to perform. Simply wait. There was a sound from heaven, the Bible says, as of a rushing mighty wind. That's what it sounded like. That filled all the house where they, that is the church, were sitting. Notice, they were sitting only. This signified the complete immersing or baptism of that church with the Holy Ghost by the Lord Jesus Christ. For what reason? He had told them to wait there in Acts chapter 1 until they received power to be His witnesses. He says in Acts 1 and 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." The emphasis on the baptism with the Holy Ghost was that they might receive power to be witnesses. Not that they might have some particular experience. Not at all. The emphasis is placed upon the wrong thing so many times by so many that preach and teach from this verse today. I'm convinced from the Bible itself. The Bible says, "There appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them." All were filled with the Holy Ghost, which is different now from the baptism with the Holy Ghost, because the baptism of the Holy Ghost came only on the day of Pentecost to this body of people. But we've already proven to you from last week that Elizabeth and John the Baptist and Zacharias were filled with the Holy Ghost before the day of Pentecost ever came. All right? So, as a result, all were filled with the Holy Ghost as a result of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And the men, according to Acts 2 and 13, began to speak with other tongues or languages as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Now, it does not say that the women did. It says very plainly, dear people, that the men were the one that were doing the speaking that day in those other languages. And they were actually speaking that which was a message, because they were speaking about God, and they spoke the wonderful works of God. They were actually preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. And the people standing there said in verse 13, they mocked them, made fun of them, because they couldn't explain it. "These men are full of new wine." Notice it said, "these men." Now, if the women had been doing it also, dear people, it would have said, "these men and women." Or even it had said, "these." But it said, "these men are full of new wine." The men. Notice that according to verse 13, only the men, not the women, are referred to there as speaking with other tongues, because they are referred to and mockingly referred to as being drunk. This is the only way that the crowd, some in the crowd, could seek to explain what they were hearing. You see, that's very plain. It's not said that there's nothing said about the women, only about the men. And of course, the men are referred to as drunk as the crowd tries to explain away the Galileans speaking in foreign languages that people from these different countries were hearing there, and they were understanding what was being said just as clearly as possible because it was being spoken in their languages. Notice that nothing is said of any dancing, any shouting, any singing, any falling down, any being slain in the spirit, any rolling, any shaking, any babbling, any incoherent sounds, any laughing, any hollering, anything like this, that the reference by some of the listeners to the apostles, Galileans, as drunk cannot mean that they literally acted like drunk men, is seen in the fact that they were speaking intelligently and soberly at preaching the word of God, that is, the apostles, the men, and it was the fact that they were doing this in foreign languages to themselves that caused them to be said they were drunk. They were speaking in a very intelligible way, so clearly that 3,000 souls were saved that day. The references to the apostles as being drunk is plainly said to be a mocking, a making fun of, or making light of them speaking in other languages, preaching in other languages. Now, this brings us to this point, dear people. I have searched my Bible, and I have never found anything that some of my friends speak of as being drunk in the Spirit. And I've heard others that profess to be Christians that speak of being drunk in the Spirit. I find no such statement as that in the Word of God. So, therefore, it must be taken from a misinterpretation of these scriptures that we're dealing with right now. And remember, dear people, they are not said to be drunk in the Spirit. They are said to be drunk by those who mock them because they heard them speaking intelligently the Word of God in other languages, foreign to their own, and they could not explain it in any other way, so that's what they said. I wish to lay that out before you just as clearly as possible and get you to look carefully at the Scriptures, because we have to be very careful that we don't get misled when we're looking at the Word of God and start a new teaching and a new doctrine that simply is not within the Word of the Lord. I sincerely lay this before you for you to look at yourself, praying that you'll see the truth in the Word of God, because that's what I'm interested in doing on this broadcast, is preaching as clearly as possible the truth of the Word of God. Notice that in all the preaching done, not one person told anyone that they had to be baptized with the Holy Ghost or speak in other tongues or languages like the apostles, like the men were doing, or that they ever would or ever should even try. It is not mentioned, dear people. It is not mentioned. Peter refers only to the gift of the Holy Ghost himself, that is, the Holy Ghost himself, to the people in verse 38, since the Holy Ghost gives other gifts besides tongues, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So the gift that Peter was speaking about in verse 38 is the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit himself, which was a gift of God promised to empower the early church. No record is given of this ever happening again in the church at Jerusalem. Never again is it recorded in the Word of God. And with good reason. It is because it did not need to take place again, because the baptism with the Holy Ghost by the Lord Jesus Christ was a one-time event, and that was it, once and for all. Many fillings, but only one baptism with the Holy Ghost of the church that was at Jerusalem. Listen, I want you to notice that this baptism with the Holy Ghost was to the church as an institution, as a body, and not to an individual. And the power to go forth and witness passed from that church in Jerusalem to the next church that was organized as they went out to preach the gospel and folks were saved and baptized and so forth and so on. This did not have to be repeated. But notice that this was to a body, to the New Testament church, not to individuals. As such, Peter nor anyone else ever preached or taught anywhere in the Bible, a lost person or a saved person, after this event, that they had to speak in other tongues or languages, just as Peter and the other apostles did on the day of Pentecost. That's right. I'll repeat that again for emphasis. Peter nor anyone else ever preached or taught a lost or saved person after this, that they had to speak in other tongues or languages, as Peter and the other apostles did on the day of Pentecost. They never did. This is not found in the New Testament. Search it. Look for it. See for yourself if such a command or such preaching is ever, ever put forth by Peter or any of the other apostles. Now, those who claim that they have the same experience as took place on the day of Pentecost, the Pentecostal experience, or that which happened on the day of Pentecost, must also have the sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind to fill all the house where they sit quietly, and the cloven tongues like as a fire comes to sit upon each of them also. And it just hasn't happened, and it won't happen. And dear people, it is the way it has to be if you're going to have what's called the Pentecostal experience, referring to what takes place in Acts chapter 2. This is just the Word of God. This is not trying to be offensive. This is just referring completely to what the Word of God itself teaches. Folks today do not have, I'm convinced, what the Bible refers to as other tongues or other languages as a gift either. I'm convinced of that from the Word of God. I trust today that you've gone along with us, you've followed these teachings, and I realize that it may be contrary to what some of you have heard, but my only appeal is, look at the Word of God, study it closely, and see if I'm not telling you the truth. God bless you, have a good day, and a great week. And tune in again next week as we continue this series of messages.